Okay, I'd like to call the Otter Rock Water District budget meeting to order for May 17th, 2022. And we'll do attendance. Lisa?
Here.
Elliker is here. Cutler is not here yet. Grace?
Here.
Mike?
Here.
Stan?
Here.
Joni?
Here.
Great. And we have the halls here. Okay. So I posted some notes. I hope you all had a chance to look at that. Our available cash is reduced. I think I forgot to subtract the SDC dollars from our general checking account when I did the calculations last year. So we have a new amount, which is a bit less. Not quite the 23,000. So I'm not really positive, but like I said in my email, rush jobs are never good when you're dealing with spreadsheets and dollar figures. Changes our total income, and so I reduced the dollars in contingency, still leaving the 8,000 unappropriated ending fund balance. I'm put in what we had discussed last time for increasing grant loan app fees, building maintenance, and meter installation. I have not increased anything in the revenue side of it since I don't think we had totally come to agreement on everything. I do want to mention that if we do any changes in rates or fees, we need to have that information in to the printer so that we can mail it. Needs to be into the printer by the 25th of May so we can get it out in the mail on the 27th, which would mean if we don't finish it tonight, we'd have to have another meeting in a week. And then we'd have to do very quick edits.
So, okay, that's to if the fees are going to be increased.
Right.
So that's not our job, is it? Isn't that the job of the board to decide? That's not a final decision by the board. We can actually.
It has to be done. It's supposed to be done during the budget process. And we really need it because if it's going to change our revenue, we need to know that.
Right. Okay. I was just not clear on that.
Because we need to make a good faith estimate of what our revenue is going to be.
Do we need to change our revenue if we still have $8,000 sitting there?
Well, we have only 8,000, a little over 8,000 in contingency now with the reduced available cash.
And how much did we have? Didn't we have like 20?
20.
Yeah.
23,000 something.
Yeah, so that's quite a drop.
But see, if we're going to raise any fees, that is going to change our revenue some. And like, the one suggestion of charging an additional $25 for a vacation rental was going to generate $5,000 estimated. Yeah, our contingency was
$22,000. All right.
I just wanted to stress that if we really need to get pretty close or finish our discussion on fees because of the notice and hearing requirements. Now we can hold at the same time we hold the regular budget hearing. It's just that we're supposed to open it for a hearing on rates and then a hearing on approving the budget.
I'm still curious. We have a ending fund balance still. Are we supposed to have an ending fund balance? Is that what we
want? Right. That's like if we were to spend all our money that we have budgeted, we still need money to pay our July bills next year.
Which will be next year's bills.
Right. We're not, of course, have no problem this year because we didn't spend all our money.
Right.
But if next year we spent everything, then we might need to, you know, have a cash carry over there to get through July.
What are our monthly bills usually?
They usually don't run over 8,000. Sometimes they're 3,000, sometimes they're 9,000. But, you know, that would mean we spent every dime that we had budgeted in the upcoming year. And, you know, if something, you know, bad really happened that we had to do some major repair or something, we can do a supplemental budget and pull money out of our reserve fund. But that's another little, you know, dance of giving notice and depending on how much it is, it may or may not require a hearing.
Yeah, that's, you know,
so
if the board thinks we need it, we probably should do it. That, you know, I don't know if we need it, you know, because I'm not that good.
Okay, well, there were other things. We're talking about increasing our shutoff on fee to 75 each call. And I also think we need to clarify on our rate sheet that would also include any kind of call out, because we had the instance actually twice last year that people said, oh, we lost water pressure. Well, one of them was our big commercial account, the Alpine Chalets. And so they called Highland, and Highland went out there, and it turns out they had a massive leak on their property. Well, they really shouldn't have called Highland. They should have called their plumber. But, and I don't know that, I'm sure they have their own shutoff valve, but we still charge them a shutoff call for that because we had to pay Highland to go out there.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Right. So I think we should add that to our list, that it's a shutoff and on for repair, replacement, or any other call out.
Basically for any call out.
Yeah, unless of course, if it's the district's problem, like we had a leak right before their property, then of course that's our problem and we'd have to deal with that.
So for any user, yeah, right.
Right.
That makes sense, yeah. And what was it before, $50? Is that what it was before?
$50 each, yeah. And the suggestion last week was to raise it to 75 each. Because it is costing us so far on average about $56 of what on average what we're paying Highland for each time out.
Okay.
So do you know what other districts charge for that type of service?
No, I haven't looked at that.
I think we should
at least cover our costs.
Well, definitely. But some other districts right down the road may be charging $200 for all we know, and we could fall in line with them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Without looking into things.
Well, I'm pretty sure the 75 will cover our cost. Okay.
Right. Okay.
The other thing was a late fee. I would like to consider doing a progressive late fee, because with just one late fee, and there's some other problems too I want to mention, called the Postal Service. If someone gets a 30, the $35 was mentioned, and if someone gets a $35 late fee, then what's to keep them from just waiting until they get a shutoff notice to pay it? And just letting it keep, you know, going till
does
they...
that happen? So does that, has that happened? Does that happen? Just out of curiosity, is that a thing that
people does do? What happen?
I mean, what you're suggesting, do people just wait? I mean, is well, that a yeah, problem?
Yeah. Although, you know, we weren't doing the shutoff notices, and we've started doing them again. And I explained that last time, but I was thinking, what about we do a $15 late fee, and then if they hit the, that's at 30 days late, and then at 60 days late, they're actually delinquent, but we hit them with a $20 late fee on top of the 15, an additional, and that makes up the 35, and then we send out the letter and say, well, we're going to shut you off if you don't pay everything now. And then that might get them, it might be some incentive, because of course the idea for late fees is an incentive not to be late, right?
Exactly.
So that was just an idea that popped into my head that I thought I'd throw out.
So if we do shut them off, how much are they paying to be turned back on again?
Well, then they pay the shut off, shut on fee. So with the new rates, it'd be an additional $150. So they have to pay all of their late fee, all of their past due amounts, and be current. Plus, they'll have to pay $150 on top of that.
So I went back and looked at that ordinance again. And just to make clear, if I owe 3 months worth of back stuff, if I've been delinquent, haven't paid, I've got these little fees. But at the end of that 90 days, when the district shuts my water off, I'm not billed for any more months. I'm billed for turning it back on, but I can't be billed for any more than those 3 months I'm delinquent. That's what I read. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Except, yeah.
You're billing them for turning it off. And that, turning it on.
Yeah.
But you're not turning it on again.
So it's the district's obligation to turn it off at the right time. And then it's no more charges other than the fees. It's the obligation of the property owner to have it turned back on and pay that 90 days worth plus the fees. And then there's started another billing cycle. They start all over again, right?
Right. Well, the idea is usually people don't want to go without water.
Right. But if their water is shut off, you're not charging them for water they're not getting. Once their water is shut off, if they go 6 months, they don't owe 6 months times $50.
Well, then we would call it a seasonal shutoff, and it's going to cost them $500 to get turned back on.
Right. I understand that, but it seems to me that in the past that hasn't been followed. That bills have been accumulated. It's keep adding up. Isn't that mm-hmm. correct? Okay.
Well, correct.
Yeah, if they didn't request the water to be turned off.
If your electricity is shut off, PUD is not going to keep charging you for your electricity you haven't used.
Right.
Right. Right.
Right.
Same idea.
That's what we're
well, doing. Yeah. And we've mentioned that problem with, you know, people wanting to discontinue their water for a few months, and that's where the board earlier came up with the $500 fee.
Uh-huh.
And so,
fair.
Yeah, is it? I guess I don't understand why five. I mean, is it that? Does it cost us $500 to turn it? I mean, why the 500? It just seems like a lot.
Because
it is a lot. Maybe we still have to maintain our system. So if we had a quarter of our houses here just say, oh, we're not going to come down during the winter, we're going to have it off for 5 months, we'd lose a lot of revenue. We have to protect our revenue.
Yes, we would. Yes. I guess when, you know, we've had people in the past have talked about being concerned about charging people money they can't, you know, why charge people for things that they're not getting. And then I don't know, I just, that just stood out to me as being kind of different from that other, from some of the other things, like, wow, that. So what you're saying is if we don't jam them with $500 and we stand to lose money, and that's a way of keeping people from doing it just because it's.
Right. And maintaining our, we still have to maintain our system. It still costs us the same every month.
True.
Yep. To maintain our system. And that this is what we need.
Yeah.
And when we get the, and when we get the loan and we get the new rates, they're going to have to pay a lot more every month.
Well, and at the point where we are doing, you know, meters and charging people for over the metered amount, you know, maybe the base amount would be, I don't know. Who knows?
We'll have to calculate that out and figure out.
Yeah. That's another time, I realize.
Yeah. That's down the road.
Yeah.
If they're 6 months not off, that's $300 that we've lost. If they're 9 months, that's $450 we've lost. And and people could shut off that long if they wanted to.
They could if they don't want to use their house, I guess, you know, and some people. We had one resident do that, or one property owner do that.
So the question is, when do we start calling it a seasonal? After 4 months? After 5 months? After six months?
Well, here's another idea that I came up with, now that you mention it, that, and I think we've kind of thrown out things about adjusting this before, so, or the board has, that we could have state this $500 fee is to resume service after water is shut off for 2 to 12 months for non-payment or seasonal shutoff by customer request. And then we could also have a fee that we charge, fee to resume service after 12 months of water being off will be equal to $50 for each additional month up to some dollar amount.
See, I always think it's a good idea to see what other districts are doing and just fall in line. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, I think Beverly Beach, they consider if someone's off, and I don't remember how much it is for X amount of time, they consider it as a brand new service starting up.
Right.
So they charge a new service fee.
I'm sure that's not unusual. Yeah,
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. Well, once we get these fees figured out, I want to bring up another category of fees too, but that's later on.
And so back to the late fee, I hope everybody realizes that monitoring this and dealing with things such as postal delivery problems, which we already have now, we've had several this winter where people paid for January and then they got a bill in February and they still hadn't paid, or, you know, the next month. And in March, they email us and say, look, we've sent the February and the payment in, and we paid in January and February, and you're saying we haven't. And we were like, well, we don't have it. Well, the end of March, we ended up getting both of these checks, and these were bank issued checks. We also had another customer who was sending payments ahead of billing, so they didn't get a statement, and we didn't get it. And they insisted their bank paid it. In fact, their bank did tracking, apparently does tracking on these. And they showed it being delivered to Otter Rock, but it didn't get in our box. And I don't know if any of you experience this, but I fairly often get mail for my neighbors. And
well, that's why I push so hard for being able to do online banking with y'all, because I don't mail any bills. I don't pay. I mean, I ever so rarely.
Right.
I pay something by. I just don't trust the postal. Like, I want to know, bing, you know, I want to get a confirmation number that my bill has been paid.
Right.
I mean, because it can get
so we're going to have to make allowance for that. And we're also, you're going to have to realize that this is going to take some additional office time.
Right.
To deal with all
that. Right.
Well, there's probably going to be a lot of emails that people are like, what do you mean I'm getting, hey, there's Richard.
What?
Thanks for joining us.
Hope you're feeling better.
Yes.
I don't see any reason why we would reduce the late fees then. If it's costing us money to do them, we've got to charge a fair amount on a late fee.
If it's what money is it costing us to do them?
So there's additional office hours put in to track down the late fees and to deal with people that actually sent it in but didn't.
Right.
But we didn't get it. Those are things we have to account right. for. We've got to pay for them.
Well, I was just, my idea was to, so people just didn't wait too long to get, you know, especially that first late payment in.
Why would I'm unclear about these two or three or whatever it was, these checks that were sent. So how did they finally show up?
I don't know. They just showed up.
Well, but did they show up? Who gets the mail?
The post office comes and, you know, our post lady comes and puts it in all the boxes.
Okay, so
I get stuff for my mail. I put it in the outgoing mail. Sometimes I have a pencil with me and I'll scribble on it that it was put in the wrong box. But
I just think, aren't you asking, Mike, like, how are you receiving? How does the water district receive
it? Finally,
in the mail, finally? Right.
Yeah, it finally gets to us in the mail.
And okay. Who picks up the mail?
Thank you.
Whitney picks up the mail out of our mailbox.
Okay.
Just like everybody else has a mailbox here, we have one for the water district. One of my bank, I have an auto payment coming out from the bank, but they snail mail it. It was supposed to get there before the 5th of the month, and it got there 1 month on the 21st.
Well, my experience is that 90% of our bills, when Janice takes care of them like she does, they're online, they go out, mm-hmm. we don't make. But this is my experience. My experience has been that when we drop them off in the little pay box at the community building, if we drop them off on the 3rd or 4th or 5th, oftentimes they don't show up at the bank until right at the end of the month. Now, I don't know if that's a problem that has to do with this mail issue or not, but
no,
that
doesn't deal with the mail. Nothing in the drop box has to do with mail.
No, but no,
the
no.
problem with that is that if somebody's bill is lost in the mail, they won't know it. You know what I mean? Like if you deposit them as soon as you get them, then people will know right away. Oh, why didn't that come out? But if you wait till the end of the month to deposit them and somebody's check is lost in the mail, they're not even going to begin to know that until, you know, weeks right. and weeks later. So that causes
okay.
further.
This winter, and we're waiting because we're hoping that the bank has a special on it. But I guess even if they don't, we're going to go ahead and sign up for an additional service through the bank for a check signer or a check scanner. We get a little baby scanner that hooks up to the computer that then when we get the checks in, we can go online and the bank, the checks will be scanned and deposited right away.
You know, Beth, Patty takes pictures of checks.
Oh, we photocopy all of them.
Checks that we get and then sends that in and they're deposited just by taking a picture of your check that you got.
Right, but you're not going to do that for 70 checks.
Why not?
Time?
It's not any slower than using a scanner.
Oh, no, you load your 15, 20 checks into the scanner and it goes zip, 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 zip.
Okay.
And then they're
done.
You
don't get 70 checks all at once.
You're right.
You get like 5 and 10 a day or something.
No, we get a whole bunch at different times of the month. Right before billing, we get a slug of checks.
Okay.
We get most of them then.
I think another thing that you might consider, people that pay in advance, I would send them a bill every month saying already paid because they paid it in advance just to let them know that it's going on.
They've sent in that money because they don't get a statement.
They should get a statement.
Well, they don't get a thing that says you need to pay your bill.
No, they should get a statement that says bill paid because you paid it in advance. That way,
I wouldn't personally want that. I don't want to ever see a statement. I pay mine ahead of time just so I don't have to bother with that.
What if I thought we had problems with that? People saying they paid ahead of time, and we don't have that, and so therefore we charge them late fees or whatever. I thought that was one of our problems.
No,
that's not a problem.
We don't charge them late fees if they've paid.
If they don't know,
the problem is not knowing.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
If it's come through the postal service, because we have problems with the postal service.
Well, all I know is that this last month was the first time, and Janice always gets these out right at the first of the month. This month was the first time that it was posted on the 10th. Mm-hmm. The other months, we've had to wait until the end of the month to see that, yep, there it is. I mean, we know it's coming out.
It was that way for years, and I had asked Whitney to do it at least twice a month. But for years, apparently, she was only asked to go in once a month, and then it was changed to once a week, and that turned out to not always be practical. I think that's the least of our problems. It may be that we really should go to the online service, but that would be, maybe we should not look at the check scanning. You're always going to have some people that won't use that. There are people who only do checks.
There's no but log.
It is an additional bank fee, and we used to use it at Hacksaw. Several departments used it at several banks, and it was pretty good, but it's an additional bank fee, and it's usually a setup fee too. And you're talking about a couple hundred dollars setup fee.
So is it a bank fee for the people paying?
No, it's a bank fee for us.
It's a one-time, is it a one-time? Oh, yeah.
No, a monthly additional $25, $50.
Right, but still, it may be less than paying hours to try tracking. I mean, it may be, if you quantify it, that it saves, it might save office time.
Right, if enough people use it.
Yeah.
It has to be voluntary though,
Right.
They can send checks.
I mean, what I'm thinking of is the automatic debit. You sign up for automatic debit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Those are other options. So,
okay.
I don't know what to say about the postal service because there's nothing we can do about that.
No, there isn't, but it's just. So
basically, if they could prove that they paid the check, it's written out, they've got the signature, the time they paid it.
Well, you don't get that with a bank-initiated payment check. The bank sends it out.
The people that are sending it by the mail. The people that are sending you checks by the mail are the ones we're having problems with, right?
No, the bank, if you do an automatic payment thing for the bank, unless the institution you're paying is signed up for getting them through the ACH system, then they actually print a check at the bank and put it in the mail. That's the way Columbia Bank does it. And
so the person never knows.
Right, it doesn't write the check, the bank writes it for them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, all these banks, they do that. And if you're paying a big company, they're already in the ACH system and, it'll go through electronically, but if it's not, they actually print a check and put it in the mail.
Okay.
So.
I don't know what I have a checkbook for then.
I don't know. I haven't written a check for months and months.
I always write my checks.
Go to the golf course, but I don't usually write too many.
Oh, there's a lot of places like your medical Samaritan, you can pay it online through your bank.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just don't think everybody does that. People can write a check and send you a check and it's still legal. They don't have to run it through their bank. They can write.
This is an automatic thing. I don't even have to think about it. I've got it set up every month to send $50 to Otter Rock Water District.
I understand that, Beth.
And that's what a lot of people do. We get quite a few of those.
People don't. What are you having problems with? Are the people that the automatic checks aren't coming to you?
Those are automatic, but they're mailed.
I thought she just said that a couple times and periodically something that is mailed, whether it's generated from the person themselves or from their bank, is getting lost in the mail. And it doesn't happen with everyone. It just happens periodically. And it's confusing the system a little bit.
The bank knows when that check was written though, right?
Yeah, they give you a thing that says it was issued, but that doesn't mean it got here in the mail.
No, but as long as the person's paid it on time, they shouldn't be charged an overcharge.
That's what we're going to have to establish.
Yeah,
but that's going to mean, you know, they're going to email us or call us and say, hey, my bank issued this check. And we're like, well, we haven't got it. Show us that your bank issued your check. Yeah. It's going to, you know.
Yeah, but we do that anyway, Beth.
This time we're going to charge people money.
I mean, I see those emails. And we do, I mean, Whitney does send out emails and, you know,
I see them, but
that doesn't negate the fact that we need a late fee. I mean, we don't have to, just because we have a late fee on the books doesn't mean we have to automatically charge it and then take it off their bill.
Well, we have to treat everybody the same, so we can't play favors.
Yeah, and then you can waive it if they can prove that they put it in. I mean, it's not...
Yeah.
You can waive it as soon as we get it. Yeah, but I tell you, if it's going to be involving people's money that they're going to have to pay extra, there will be more emails and more time going back and forth and dealing with it.
You've got to get the people that don't pay their bills though on time.
That's right. I'm not arguing against it. I'm just trying to make everybody aware that it will be some extra finagling, right?
Right, and that's why I think we need to keep a high late fee for the people that actually aren't paying their bills right away. I think 35, okay. Yeah.
35 for the first month and then nothing else.
No, we can increase it. I like your idea of increasing it the next month.
Yeah, you could even increase it the next month.
I mean, I think if we're going to pay Whitney more money, then yes, we need to charge 35 for the first month. And if they don't pay it for the second month, then let's just talk about what we want the second month to be.
Yeah.
Okay. I want some incentive for people just to, you know, pay their bills.
Right. Right. That's the whole idea. And hopefully it'll reduce. I mean, I counted up the people who hadn't paid the previous bill this last month. And in fact, I went through and I found several lists and they went from 11 people to 18 people with an average of 16 or something for the 4 months I looked at. And I'm sure that will decrease quite a bit with a hefty late fee.
I hear what you're saying, though, like 15 to start and then add the rest on the next month.
I don't know. That was just an idea.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a bad idea.
Well, maybe we should vote on it or something. I don't know what we do on these things.
Yeah, I would say you just double for the whatever you decide on for the first, then you double it for the next one.
Well, we have to decide.
So you could
recommendation. What does everybody think?
I go 15, double it to 30 for the next month.
Yeah, neat. I agree with that. That sounds because 15, like somebody can space it out, and so yeah, so 15, but then 30, if you know, because you can't really if you start off at 35, you know.
What's going to happen? They're going to.
You don't really want to go up.
Might as well just. Well, yeah.
Keep charging them more, and they're actually in financial difficulty. Then you know, it's just that's
right.
A problem.
Is there anybody opposed to the 15 plus 15?
If it covers Whitney's work, that's what I want to cover. If she's got additional work, I want to make sure she's covered.
Well, we won't know until we see, and hopefully it'll drop off because our whole intention, right, is to discourage paying late.
So it's 15 the first time and then 30 additional the second time, right?
Another another 15?
No, no, it's 30. No, I thought it was 30.
Well, Mike, that would be 30 altogether.
No, it would be 45 altogether, right, Mike?
That's what I was suggesting. Yeah.
I agree with that. I think that seems reasonable.
15, okay, 15 the first and 30 the second.
We'll shut them off, right?
Huh?
3 months before they're shut off.
Right. Well, no, right. If they're late the second time, then they will get a shutoff notice, but it's going to be the week after billing because you can't do it right on the billing date.
Right. Right. 90 days. Good.
2 months? 2 months and a week is what it is?
Yeah. I mean, they're delinquent. You're supposed to pay by the end of the next month or really the 10th because they changed that payment date. And if you read the ordinance, it says that the bills will be sent out on the 1st. Well, that's not reasonable because we don't even have, you know, like the meter readings for the commercial. So they changed it to the 10th, and this has been like years ago, apparently. So we actually bill on the 10th, but we ask that it be in, the ordinance still says it's supposed to be in by the end of the month, but we kind of consider if it's in by the 10th when we're doing the next billing, it's paid, right? Because we aren't going to send a statement out to someone who just paid. If we have the check in hand, we count it. So that would be if they didn't pay by the next billing date, they're 30 days late. If they're 60 days late, that's another month, then they are delinquent. But it's always the following week that we send out the disconnect notices for those that are delinquent. But that means they now owe for 3 months of water.
And only 2 months of, well, if they owe for 3 months of water, shouldn't they be getting three late fees?
No, they're 2 months late because you get a month to get the first payment in.
If you don't do that, that's one late fee.
When you get that would be one. By the time billing comes around for the next month, you haven't paid, then you're getting a late fee on top of now you're owing for 2 months of rent water.
And then you're also going to have your water disconnected at that time, or do you have another month?
You're delinquent at 60 days past due. So that's 90 days out, but then you owe for 3 months.
And then when they go back on again, they pay $150 to get back on.
Plus the late fees.
Plus the late fees.
And the back.
And so luckily we're now signed up with the low income household water assistance program. So if people are really hurting financially, maybe they can get some help.
Mm. Well,
okay, so 15, 30 days late equals $15 late fee, and then 60 days late equals another $30 late fee, right?
Total of 45, yeah.
And that'll be a total of 45. Is there anyone opposed to that? You know, Richard's still muted, so I don't know if he's talking or not.
Well,
there Johnny, I am. Are you on?
There you are.
How are you?
What are your thoughts on the late fees?
Well, I agree with everything, and I just want to summarize. So if it's 30 days late, there's a $15 fee due. So now it's $65 due. And then if they're another 30 days late, then there's a $30 fee added on. So right. Now you have 65 due plus 90 due.
145 or
135. Or 80 due, excuse me.
100, isn't it?
No. Well, it'll be 45 plus two months worth, which is 100. So it's gonna be 145.
Okay.
Okay, then
I agree with all of what's been said.
Okay, then if they don't pay that, then they've got, is there another month of that they have to pay their water bill still too?
Well, no, they're shortly after that, if they still don't pay by the next week, they're going to be sent mailed a shutoff notice. Okay. But we do give them 10 days to respond to that,
right,
to get payment in before we would actually shut them off.
I came in a little late. Could I ask a question about the automatic withdrawal by the bank? That is so clean and so, and you really don't get involved with mailing anything. They just debit your bank account and right, show it on the statement, and then they send us a credit to that. But does that cost us?
Yes.
Okay.
That would be last I checked, it was a $50 monthly fee.
That's for everybody involved. That's not per each, right?
No, it's an extra bank fee for the district.
$50, yeah.
$50 a month. It would cost us additional.
Yeah, but that's for all of the accounts. That's not per account, right?
Well, that's also an optional thing. People have to sign up for that and give us permission. They have to give us their account number so that we can do an automatic debit to their account.
Yeah, it might be beneficial to maybe talk about putting out a little advance offer and offering a little one-time discount if they'll sign up for that for 12 months.
Oh, that's an idea.
Yeah, it would be so much nicer to do that.
I think that might eliminate a lot of the checks. That might be an alternative to even doing the check scanning.
It might also save hours for Whitney, which might offset. That's a quick thing.
It's especially simple since we have a set rate.
And it may offset some of the $50, if not all of it.
Right, because basically you log into the bank and you put in the people's names and all the information in their bank account number, and the bank is holding that as a little database. And then you go in and tell it to, you know, make sure that you've got everything in there each month in case someone's dropped out or they've changed bank accounts or something.
Does that work for all banks?
The bank to run the batch and it just runs it. And you get a printout, you get a list of everybody who, you know, I mean, every once in a while you'll get a bounce where, you know, it doesn't go through because someone's closed out an account or something, but that usually doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. And so the next day you go in and you get a report and see everything that went through.
So that would be about $600 a year to the as an additional bank fee. And I think right, we have the right now.
Like, well, we were planning on that, well, a reduced amount, but for the check scanning, we were planning on that originally.
Well, it seems like that would be a really good service. And then if we went ahead and put in this progressive late fee system, then it may not have to be used. I mean, we're hoping it's not.
Yeah, right. We're really hoping it doesn't get used.
Hope they don't have to use it. So
yeah,
it would be a good benefit. We have a process, and we'd have a process in place then to deal with late fees, but we'd have another system that would allow people a lot more ease in their bill paying and reduce. I think it would reduce Whitney's time. We have money left over that we either can put into our savings account or we redistribute in some way. I think that maybe that $600 isn't a bad place to put. I mean, the bank isn't a bad place to put that fee. What do you all think about that?
I think it's great. I know that you won't get 100% usage of it, but I think more and more, you know, there's some people that are real resistive to setting up those automatic things, but.
Will it work for all banks?
What?
Will it work for all banks?
Yeah, it goes through the automatic clearinghouse, check handling. Okay. I mean, yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, you are.
I like the idea, but I don't want to give a discount to people who use it, because there's a lot of people, especially the older folks in the community, that don't do internet a lot, and
Well, you don't have to do internet.
Well, you have to.
No, you don't have to do internet for what I'm.
They're not gonna. They're not gonna want to give up their account numbers.
Exactly.
I mean, if we can't get an income survey, you know, because people are afraid of, you know, we're not gonna have people give up their account numbers. So I don't think there should be an incentive. I agree, it should be in the budget, and I like that idea.
I think what Dick, if I could speak for what Dick was saying, I think he was just offering an incentive to get started, not necessarily
a one time.
Yeah, one time.
It was just hey, this is a special deal. We'd like to start this system for the ease of the customers, right. And you know, here's an incentive. But I don't have to do it. I think it would be a nice thing, but I don't think that's required to make that.
Maybe system. It would be a thing we could go. Maybe we could do a get a real good discount on a bulk purchase of Brita filters or something, and offer those.
I do think that even just offering people like a $15 discount or something could be just enough motivation, because people will, you know, do different things just to get that extra, you know, because people don't like, you know, as humans, we often don't like change. And so sometimes, you know, even just a small monetary incentive might.
Right. Yeah. And that would kind of balance out the, you know, the negative with the positive, you know, positive reinforcement, you know, they say is also always preferable. So yeah, we'll sign up for this or don't be late, because we're going to charge you, but sign up for this and we'll give you a little bonus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Many people have that going for them with their credit cards. That's one of the recommended things that you do when you get a credit card, to build your credit. So they automatically pay the minimum payment or whatever payment you design every month automatically. And then you just build that into what else you're going to pay them. But then you never have a late fee, and those things really knock the credit down.
Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like we're on a first month, 30 days late, $15 late fee. 60 days late, you get a $30 late fee on top of that. And then you get probably another week before you get a shut off notice. That should be incentive. On and off fees up to 75 each from 50. And look into doing auto deposit, which may cost us a little bit more than we had figured for that check scanner, but that might be a replacement for the check scanning service. I guess we could wait and see.
And maybe when it's advertised with the community, it could be if you'll use the word sold, as a way to help people, to make it easier for people to pay.
Yeah. I'd be first in line to sign up for it. You know, I always did that. I've done that for years, other places, just for eons. Yep. But what about an incentive? Who's opposed to an incentive? You, Lisa, you said you didn't like an incentive. Is there anybody? Because,
yeah.
Even a small incentive?
Correct. I think if people want to do it, we shouldn't have to incentivize it. I mean, I personally believe that the community will do it regardless of the incentive, because of the fact that we have so much problems with the checks and getting things in on time, and you know, all the emails back and forth and all the complaints that we've had. I don't think we need to give away our money, and we, you know, it might be more than $600. So, you know, we might need to have more money than $600 to pay for this.
Well, we only have 156 or so customers, right?
Yeah.
If they all signed up for it and it were a
But see, I prepay a whole year, so I'm not going to sign up for this service until September. Do it well,
anyway.
You know, and I don't want to, you know, I like writing checks. I'm old school. So, you know, I'm just going to continue to pay my monthly, you know, my yearly fee and give a check. And that's just what I like to do. So, you know, I don't think we need to incentivize it.
I think most people are like you, Beth. If it's offered, they'll do it because it's easy.
Right.
Yeah.
Or we could, you know, say the first
give them a discount when they're getting something that's easier anyway.
Yeah, you could be right.
The other thing we could do is limit it by saying the first, you know, 30 customers to sign up for it will get a $10 discount.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's good. Or I was going to say we could present it, and if people aren't jumping on it, then next time we, you know, do an incentive, you know, because
or wait 3 months, and if there's not very many people, then people aren't start offering an incentive. That's a good idea.
But also doing like the first 25 people or something too. But I don't know about that.
No, I like your first idea. I think just let it roll for a while and see what happens.
I would be okay with that.
Yeah,
I'd be fine with that.
All right, because okay, you could be right. People might jump on it without any incentive.
Yeah, or enough people.
Yeah.
We've got that all settled.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Yes, I got one more thing. The NSF / you know, bouncing checks back fee. We don't have one currently, and I would really like to have, you know,
well,
some kind
that
of
would
fee.
Be a late fee. We don't get charged. Depositors no longer get charged on most banks for
on NSF fees?
What is NSF?
No, we don't get NSF.
Not sufficient funds.
Non-sufficient funds.
We don't get charged. The people who write the checks probably get charged by their bank. Mm.
Okay.
But the depositors, very, very few banks will charge the depositor a fee anymore. And we do not get those because we've had them. We've had a couple just recently. So
okay. Thank you.
Ah.
So axe that one.
Yeah, as long as we're not getting charged, I'm good.
Okay. Charging vacation rentals any extra? Raising rates.
I liked Mike's idea very much. Mike, are you still on board with that?
Yeah, that was just something that Beverly Beach does. So that's why I brought it up. And like I said before, they actually do $50 a month. And I just threw 25 in, it could be 10, it could be 30. I have no idea. It's whatever everybody else. First of all, if you think it's a good idea, and second of all, how much should it be? And I guess part of that is how much you want to raise each year. And are doing that.
Think it's a good idea, and 25 sounds pretty good. We don't need to raise a whole bunch more money, so.
You know, what we, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we are assuming, and we know, I'm not sure which, that not every vacation rental is registered, right?
Licensed, right.
So, right, 19.
Well, I'd like to say something on that. Like you might think, oh, Grace isn't registered, but see, I'm in a different category. So right. I'm in full compliance, but I'm not registered because I'm not in the same category. I'm in full compliance with the county, with everything.
You know,
but
Grace,
I don't pay $300 a month. So I'm not on the list of 19. Do you know what I mean? So right. I'm just saying it's possible that some of the ones that aren't, I don't know. I'm just saying, if you were wondering if I was one of those that wasn't.
Well, I was thinking of the under the table ones, the ones that are, you know, by word of mouth, that right. We know there's a few of those, but they aren't registered with the county. They aren't,
you know, one clue is if they're advertised, and maybe they're covered by their commercial setup they already pay, but the A-frame, there's several of those individual A-frames that ERBO or whatever those sites are, they're all over the place, including what looks like the main building.
Yeah, and well, the company that was the motel when they went condo, they maintained, I think it's three of the units. They kept three of the units and sold the rest as condos.
Okay. Anyway,
they are not required to be licensed because they're not in a residential zone. They also don't, you know, the 100 or so at the Inn at Otter Crest are not part of the county licensing program either.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, all I know is I called the county too just to see it. Now, are these 19? Is this up to date? And they were. That was 2 weeks ago or something. Mm-hmm. And I understand the commercial part too, like the ice cream shop. I'm sure that's how covered. I just went online to see what would show up. And Yargo and all these other ones, and there were lots of them.
I'm talking about under the table, because the county checks that now. They have software that goes out, kind of a web crawler app that looks for all those, mm-hmm. and they check them out. In fact, they've emailed us a couple times at the office to ask us if we know if a certain house is a vacation rental or not.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I don't think they
check up on them, but there's probably a couple that are more by word of mouth that aren't advertised through Vacasa or VRBO that are probably vacation rentals, but they're unlicensed under the radar, and we have no way of really confirming it.
No, and that's not the job of the water district. Yeah, I just curious how much could be raised and found the 19 that were
right. So if we did it 25 at the current 19 that we have, would be 5,700.
I think that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you had from last year.
Mm-hmm. Not enough to what we need. You want to have a contingency? Is that enough, or do we need to charge more? That's the question.
Well, or is there anything else you want to?
I don't know what else we did.
Increase.
Well, there's two more. I don't know if we can get to them tonight, but there's two more things I do want to bring up. One is about the community club building. And then I've got some questions too. Okay. And this, anyway, I've got a couple more things I want to raise at some point.
Okay, so.
Can I get one item in here? The Inn at Otter Crest pays 1% to the county across the board, and that's just regular fee. And many
doesn't
of
matter. They're out in our district.
Yeah, and the reason the county is checking is because that's a handsome fee when you add it all up, and they want everybody to be paying that. And so I agree with what was said earlier about a $25 addition for people who are renting out their units. I think that's a small price to pay for what they're going to receive in rents.
Okay. Yeah. Is there anybody opposed to that?
No. And I must say, I really want to say is, Grace, I wasn't thinking about you specifically in any way, shape, or form, because I didn't realize that. But number two is that I just thought we should be able to be prepared for someone saying, well, that person doesn't pay that, and we just have to be ready for what we assume is going to happen.
Well, we just have to state that it's per the county licensing program, right.
and that's all we have to say. And then let it go and not be you. I think you said earlier we aren't STR police. None of us are STR police.
Right.
Or any kind of rental police.
At our house, of course. No. We aren't. So as long as we're clear that we're just going with what's in the county and that's all, then I think that's great. And then encourage people if they aren't, if we know of a place that isn't registered. Of course, I don't think that they are registering anymore, right? It's on hold.
No, but they will contact them. The county will contact them and let them know that they're out of compliance of county code.
Yeah, they kind of drive around, I think.
No, they don't have enough personnel. They've only got one part-time deputy.
Oh, maybe that was a couple years ago. They have.
Yeah.
All the water district has to say is, go talk to the county if somebody complains, because it's not our responsibility.
Right, right. We just go off the county list. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, what else? You can take a look at the Beverly Beach Water District website and see their wording and just basically copy it. It's a pretty succinct little sentence that says they're going by the SCRs as part of their commercial rate that are registered with the county.
Okay, so that takes care of the fees that we had talked about previously. So, Mike, what else did you have then?
So are we going to vote on are we going to make a decision on the $25, or have we already?
What $25?
The $25.
Oh, well, I asked if anybody was opposed to that.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
I mean, we'll be voting on the final, but if there is anybody opposed, then we need to discuss it more. If not, we don't.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. So, community center.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I looked at the on the budget and all the utilities, and then we put the $2,000 amount for building maintenance. So we're at almost $5,000. And then we got the, Beth, the email you sent out about volunteers. Uh-huh. And I'm bringing this up because the water district is somewhat in charge of that, obviously. The way that used to be handled was there was a committee. And I don't know how many years it's been since the committee outside of the water district was there to take care of the building and make decisions about who was going in and whatever. I think the days of not charging a fee for that are gone.
I don't think we can charge a fee.
Well, let me explain my reasoning. And actually, this is a lot of ideas of Janice's too. You know, we've been here since the early 70s. And there were times when we had big Christmas gatherings and all sorts of things there. The guideline there was, if you were a resident, you got to use the building. But if you were a group within or outside the community, it was a big kind of a thing, except for a community thing like the Christmas programs, there was a fee attached. You know, there's things like the septic tank, there's all sorts of maintenance things in a building like that that have to be dealt with. And apparently it's through the water district. I think something should be done to get a committee back together to oversee the use of that. And these are our suggestions real quickly. You should pay a fee, whether you're a member of the community or not. The first time it's used, we've discussed, it really shouldn't be up to the community. And we used to do this on occasion of cleaning things up. I think that the district should hire a professional outfit to clean it. It hasn't been used in 2 years. It's probably going to be used a lot again, but just for that first time, an idea is to have a professional group come in and clean it up. From then on, you charge a minimal fee to use it, whether you were resident or not, and also tack on to there as part of that fee or an additional fee, a deposit for cleanup. And when it was done, this committee takes a look at it like they kind of used to do and says, okay, once we get the key back, and once we check it, inspect, and it's clean, you get your feedback for the cleanup. It has a potential for being used a lot. And I think it has the potential for having a lot go wrong with it, whether it's plumbing or electrical or whatever. And like I say, we're budgeting right now out of the water district almost $5,000. Again, I really think that the first time it's cleaned, it shouldn't be volunteers. You know, I went up there a month ago and mowed. All of us do stuff like that. But cleaning that place that hasn't been used, I think we should look at spending some money to get that done. Just like pressure washing the outside of it, instead of just having some of us go up there and being volunteer to do it, it's kind of a job, I think, that after COVID and everything, it should be done by professionals.
I agree.
If it was a community event, some celebration or something like that, there could be a donation jar or something to help pay for the fee to go into there. But I think something should be done to do things kind of differently with that building for longevity of the building and just to make things run smoother.
Okay, it's my understanding because of something in our insurance, our liability insurance, we cannot charge for it. So that would mean clearing that up and probably right. Having people would have to get their own insurance and show proof of insurance for using the building.
Well, it's something to be looked into because yeah, I think the way it is yeah. now, opening it back up and, you know, I can see both sides of it, but I really think it's something that should be looked at and especially taking a look at it after somebody does use it. And if they, I don't know, legally, you're probably right, but I think we should take a look at it.
Okay, but I think that's for a later meeting, a board meeting, and yeah. because it's too well, late, we can't budget for, we can't be doing the research that we need to do and get our budget done in a week, I don't think.
I have a lot of information having served on that committee and did some visitations with several of us did visitations to other community centers, and I have their information plus what we talked about a long time ago. And so I would be happy to help out with, if you want to do that next year, we could maybe make something happen that way. I really do agree with you. It is a cost, but we actually have information that's been gathered before.
Okay.
That would be great. And, you know, maybe something you could do mid-year. I mean, if we can figure out the part about, you know, if we can charge or not, then, you know, if you can figure out if it would be self-supporting and doesn't affect our budget, then it may not matter as far as right now for our budget cycle.
I think we should budget for pressure washing, cleaning the units, cleaning the building, doing landscaping around there. I think we're in a community right now. We're having a hard time getting volunteers to even show up over there for stuff.
We've already got people volunteering for everything right now.
Okay.
I've got someone organizing a cleanup that I just communicated with today. We've got people doing gardening work and yard work. And
we need to do it on a consistent basis. And we don't.
Right, but we haven't used it for 2 years. That's why it hasn't been consistent.
Also, we used to have we'd all get together as a group and work on it. Maybe it wasn't up to like, Mike, I get it, you know, wanting to have like for this one time, you know, a really pristine clean of it. But I mean, you know, like, for example, you're saying there's people, you know, setting up volunteer things, but if you let everyone know, then I don't know. I used to really enjoy those volunteer things and
those cleanup parties were great. Yeah. And then we had
and so like if people, there's little clumps of people, it just seems disorganized. I mean, I don't know. It'd be nice if it was organized and everybody knew on this date, if you want to go hang out with your neighbors and work on the community center for 3 or 4 hours or 10
right. And
hours.
I think once things get back to normal, that would be fine. I don't know. I'm not
formal. I don't know.
I'm not ready to join a group inside. You know.
All right. So that makes sense. So that's kind of what. So what you're saying is that's why it's not. It's because we're in a different.
We're kind of
climate right now.
Yeah, we're kind of in between. I think it's okay for people on their own if they want to use it.
Okay.
But. Yeah, it's not quite back to where it is. And
yeah.
I don't know. That's
that's why the suggestion of this first time and just wants to have somebody professional go in there.
Yeah. Well, there's been no one in there. So there's no COVID germs in there, I don't think, because no one's been in there. But it's just some cobwebs and dust, you know.
Dirt and dust, yeah.
Anyway.
I know. My first thought when I got the letter was, why aren't the people that are having the party responsible for cleaning up? But that was just my first thought. Like, wait, they're having a party and we're cleaning up for them. I don't know. But not that
no,
I don't
they
want
were,
to.
They're involved with the cleaning. They okay. want to help with the cleaning, okay. but right. I don't think we can ask them to do all of it.
Yeah, it would be
plus
good.
Now we have another group interested in using it too, so.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, the literally the door's been opened and yeah, it's a lot of things to consider to take care of, to keep it maintained, to keep it clean, so that if I want to use it for something and go in there and realize, oh my God, it's dirty, whoever was in there last didn't, there need to be some guidelines. And Joni, I'm sure you've got a bunch of that.
Yeah, I think it's great for, you know, there to be a committee to deal with that.
But, you know, I yeah, do. Oh, go ahead, Lisa, sorry.
Because I believe our fridge is still broken and, you know, we don't have trash service. So I hope that people know that, you know, when they come in that, you know, the fridge doesn't work and there's no trash. So they have to take in everything back to where they.
Right.
I hope that's being communicated.
It will need to be. I mean, we're just. The thing yeah, I know, just came but, in. I was. Yeah.
I just hope that, you know, we the people that are going to use it first know that the fact that, you know, these things have to happen.
Right.
And I'm sure they do, but I don't want to assume.
Well, and speaking of communication, it would be nice to know. And I know, Beth, you're busy, but some feedback, too, on who signed up for what. Art used to do the June cleanups for several years where we'd all get together and go up there and mow and
right.
clean up. So whenever that information can go out, that would be great, too.
I personally like the idea of budgeting some money for this. That was a good suggestion. And I'd be glad to check our insurance policy and call the agent and see what it would cost to receive the rents.
Well, I think people should pay their own insurance.
Well, that might open a whole can of worms. It might. I would say, Dick, go ahead and try that and see. You know, if it's an extra $300 a year, I don't know what it's going to be. I'm just throwing that out there. But if you're going to charge people $25 or something to use it, I don't know. I having people arrange, like Grace, when you want to do music there, you don't want to arrange for your own insurance. You want to be able to walk into a clean building
right.
that you know is safe, that the septic's working and the refrigerator right. or whatever, and you're going to leave it in the same way. I think that's the best way to look at it.
If people left it clean, then it wouldn't need real much of in the way of cleaning.
And if you paid a deposit, you don't get it back unless you left it clean.
Yeah. I think we have a tremendous asset there, and it's really in good shape, really, compared to most of the association buildings that I've seen. And so I couldn't agree more. I think we should. I'll check on the insurance. I'll do that tomorrow.
Thanks, Dick.
Okay, well, are you talking about rent or a deposit?
I'm talking about both. A fee. Plus a deposit. You get the
well,
deposit.
Yeah, that could be a big difference.
Right, but when you if that's possible, then when you to get your deposit back, you turn in the key.
There somebody's is no key. Pay it.
Well,
how do they get in?
How do you get into it?
A code. They're electronic door locks now.
Okay.
Good to know.
We'll
see what the insurance people think about how that.
Yeah, we'll have to hurt. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Dick,
I'll do that tomorrow and try to get to everybody via email before the week's out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, other than the community center, anything else that anybody has?
Well, what if we're going to, are we going to add anything into the budget for this initial cleaning, or are we just putting this whole community center thing kind of suspension?
I think
is to put something in for this initial.
Awfully late to be starting.
Right, because that's next year's budget.
Next year's budget, yeah.
I know, but we have to have this finalized.
Right. Yeah.
Real quickly.
We did add $1,500 for building maintenance.
I don't know if we have $1,500 though.
Well, we already added it for pressure.
Yeah, and by the way, Art said he already had someone moss treat the roof, so as his gift to the community center.
They didn't put the siding though.
What?
The siding that's everybody thinks is mildewed and rotten. It's probably just mildewed, but it needs to be cleaned.
It could be just dirty, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's mildew, I'm sure, more than dirt. There's no, you know, but yeah, that needs to be cleaned. That's
we added that $1,500 into the budget.
Budget, yeah.
Right, we've got that one at $2,000.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
That's interior maintenance and exterior maintenance is what that building maintenance is, though, right?
Right.
So anything that's in there. That's what I was thinking. Maybe we needed to increase it a little bit more if we're going to do cleaning. And, you know, do we have to pump our septic system still?
I have no clue.
I know it used to have to get pumped all the time.
Well, it hasn't had much use, so.
Yeah.
I've never seen any bills come through it in the last 2 years. It
hasn't been used in the last 2 years, yeah. So. Right.
Well, that can be a problem with septic systems, too, is not using them. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it hasn't been used much.
Right.
Yeah. We used to have it pumped all the time, as I remember.
Maybe contact or talking to, I was going to say talk to Paul Erskine, because I know that he was the lead moving the monies, or, you know, it's taking care of the septic system over there, getting it installed and getting it all set up and ready to go when the sanitation board donated the money to put in the septic system. So right. Paul might be able to know what, you know, when it was done last and
how many years was that they did that? Do you remember when did they do that? When did Paul have that done? Do you remember?
I really don't. I want to say 2019. We didn't have it for very long, you know, before COVID. So I would say 2018 or maybe
or something like that. Okay.
Okay. So, with an extra $5,700. We have additional money here in our contingency. That puts $5,700 into our contingency.
From the raise rate for the...
Right.
Yeah. It'd be great to put it into the community center. I think that is a...
Mom, at least.
That people would long for now more than they did before. I think COVID... made things visible to people. They really did want to get together, but I could be wrong.
So, what would, how much, does anybody have a calculation on how much this would cost?
Well, the cleaning has to be in June, right? So that's not in this budget.
Right.
That's on this budget, not on next year's budget.
Right.
I thought you were talking about ongoing cleaning, professional cleaning.
No.
He just wants it one time.
If it doesn't work, that's fine. But the idea that Janice had, and I concur, is that you pay to get it off completely cleaned, and from then on, if that would be agreed to, there's a deposit that you get back if you leave it just as spotless clean as the pros did.
Right.
You don't need the key back anymore. You do the touch thing. But the idea is to get it really clean. Everybody knows it's really clean. And then from then on, you better keep it clean or you're not going to get the deposit back, because we're going to have to get the professionals back. So it kind of rolls over that way.
Yeah.
Right. But then we'd have to budget. We would have to budget for that extra cleaning.
Well
no,
we have nothing to do with that. It's this year.
Yeah.
We're going to clean it because
it's this year.
No, right. If there's ongoing cleaning, because the people didn't clean, we still have to have it in a budget. Even if we get a deposit that covers it, it still has to be in the budget because it's going to show up in the books as an expense money that will be expended.
We're not doing ongoing cleaning. We're only doing this cleaning this June.
Okay, so if someone trashes it, then we don't clean it.
What? Well, someone trashes it. I can't imagine anybody in this community is going to use it.
I hope not. So then why worry about it?
And then we would use their deposit hopefully to clean it, right?
Yeah, but if we issue a check out of our system to pay a cleaner, it's an expense that, right, that the auditor, the district has spent. It has to be covered in the budget.
Right.
Do we have any money in our budget this year for cleaning or for the building?
Well, maintenance? We do have $369 in the bank account.
You know,
it's still going to show up on our books. It's still going to be an expenditure. If it's not too much, you know, it'll probably be okay. But
you can't touch that $369 because we need a fridge before we need a cleaner. I'm sorry, we need a fridge before we need a cleaner. And we shouldn't touch that $369. I mean,
$369 isn't going to do a fridge.
And that's not going to be a cleaner anyway, because they cost a lot more than that. They're $25 an hour for one person. I mean, that's cheap.
That's cheap, yeah.
I mean, they usually go for $35, $50, $75 an hour.
No, it'd be $150 to have a professional cleaner come in there and clean that whole thing, right?
Right, yeah, that would cover it, but...
No, that won't cover it.
Maybe.
$150?
Yeah. That's
we have $150 in the fund, but we don't have it in the budget to spend it, so...
Yeah, I know, but that won't cover cleaning costs.
Have we spent the $500... Have we spent the $500 we have for building maintenance this year?
In this year's budget?
We've spent some of it, yeah. We haven't spent all of it. We got $360 left.
See, that doesn't really concern us because that's this year's budget and we're a budget committee for next year. But yeah. I think it would be a good thing for the board to do. And I think Mike's proposal is a good thing for the board to do. But we're really, that's not our job either. That's the board's job to ask for a deposit from people. I think it's a great idea, but it's not part of our,
right,
not what we're doing.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Let's move on. Does anybody else have anything for the budget?
Can I say a little bit about that? Is that the 300? I thought there was like $320, but it is a separate, there was an amount that was donated to the community center all those years ago, but 2018, 2019, it was a separate amount of money that we did some fundraising for, and we had donations, and then that went into the bank account. And we didn't, as far as I know, it wasn't spent. It was ready, and we didn't have any, the people that were working on the committee, we didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, no, I shouldn't say that. We didn't have any purpose for that. We put it in to save and then use it later, which sounds like it's time for a refrigerator. But that's a separate, is that still there? I think
yes.
That's budget, right?
Yes, it's still there. We were, let's see, at last meeting, there was $366.79 in the community center account. It hasn't changed for at least 2 years since I've been on the board.
I know that money can be used. There was no rule about what it could be used for or what. It's just that it was going to be for the benefit of the community center because we had done some fundraising for it. So I think we should be able to use it for the refrigerator and put more a different kind of money in for cleaning.
I'm just a little confused about why we would have a community center that we're not using that's dirty with a good refrigerator. What purpose does a refrigerator serve in a place that no one's using?
Well, we are going to start using it.
If you're
but we can't use it till we clean it. It just seems like, I don't know.
Well, that'll be
so people that would use it need a refrigerator? I guess, I don't know.
Well, if they use it all the time, they might, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Might want it. The mayo, the salmonella. Yeah,
Don't we have money in the budget for building maintenance? And then we have Joni's money that's also in there. So basically, we have about $600. Is that right? We have $500 that we have budgeted for building maintenance, and not all of that's been spent, right?
We have 300. I just read that. Where is it?
300 and something. Joni's got 300 and something. That should be enough to clean and probably get a refrigerator.
A refrigerator? You mean a used one or?
A used one or something, or get that one fixed. Or
maybe someone would donate. Maybe someone needs to replace theirs, huh?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
The old ones are better than the new ones. I would tell you that.
I just don't get the big deal about a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Well, what's the problem with the refrigerator? It's just not coils.
Apparently, it's dead.
It's dead. And it has been dead for 2 years pre-COVID. We had to buy a little cooler to have the water samples when Jim was here to store them. So I'm sure it's a mold. Well, I don't know. I haven't opened it up because I haven't been there. But, sure, you know, if it hasn't been used, it needs to go to the dump straight away without even opening it.
You're sure it's plugged in?
Well, yeah, and we'll have to account for the cost for that, too, because they...
So I'm not even going to go there. But
okay. Let's not... I think that's not right now. We need to finish this budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that was fun.
Here's another one for you. Okay. Moving on. Are we moving along?
Yeah.
I hope so, because it's getting late.
Okay.
Time to go.
I hesitate to bring this up, but just like when I walked up the hill and there was a door open, I didn't understand exactly what was going on. So we talked a little bit earlier about more duties for the office manager. And I'm just going to ask this bluntly as I can. Last week, we all got a letter from Pat, and she outlined some things in the email that were things that the office manager no longer is required to do, which, take it or leave it, according to her letter, it sounds like there's actually less for her to do. So Beth or Dick, somebody on the board, can you address that for me so I can understand what's going on?
I think that would be better at a different time. There's a lot of little things but what does this have to do with our budget?
Well, what it has to do with the budget is on the line items of the increase that the office manager is getting. And if we're giving her, just like with Highland, the money that they're charging us, we're looking at that and going, you know, and as a budget committee member, I feel like I'm representing in the community what we're doing with the money. So with Highland, I don't understand where some of the money's going. And in our budget, the one we're talking about for next year, we've bumped up by $2,400 or whatever it is, the office manager pay. And then I get this email, like we all did, that says, well, A, B, and C aren't being done anymore, so there's actually less hours. I'm just asking, what are we talking about for, what are we using for raising the money, $2,400 or whatever it is?
Well, number one, it's a COLA.
Okay, but are there more hours or less? That's what I'm asking.
There are more hours.
Okay.
In the last year, now this could change because we had a whole bunch of people, new people who sold properties and new owners. Every time that happens, the title companies have started sending us a lien request information thing. Luckily, they stopped sending them for the inn at Otter Crest and for Seacrest and for Beverly Beach because we don't cover them.
That's true.
We must have had a dozen of those come in, and we kept telling them, we don't do the water for them. We only do Otter Rock. So you have those. They want a signature. They want to know if there's any lien. And it has to be scanned and emailed back. A lot of new owners have had a lot of questions about paying their bills and everything. And that's one of the reasons we added a bunch of information to the website, hoping to slow that down. The Highland bills have been a lot more work to decipher and to pay because they're doing so many different things. For every, you know, you look at our spreadsheet, and so for some bills, it's very easy because there's one code to cover the whole bill. So you have to, you know, split out the costs for things when they go to different accounting codes. We've added quite a few accounting codes because it's good to keep track and to know where your money's being spent. And the more detail you have gives you a better idea. So we've added some of those. You know, there's a lot of little things, and probably none of them sound like they mean very much, but they just all add together. There's been more reports requested of Whitney to do in the last year. That's all I can think of just off the top of my head. The things that she doesn't do anymore are very minimal, and they were very easy to do because they were mostly just passing things on to Jim when he was the superintendent and letting him know that, you know, someone wanted their, you know, wanted him to check out this or something, or, you know, that sort of thing. Someone needed their water, called the office and wanted to have their water shut off to do repairs or something. Those kind of things. I don't know what else might be on the list that you received.
Well, I think all of us received it. I mean,
I read it, but that's been 200 hours of work ago, so I don't recall all the things on it.
Well,
except for the filing. The filing cracked me up. The filing I'm talking about that needs to be done is papers. There's three or four four-drawer file cabinets in there. We're using one and a half of those, and the rest of them are filled with some very important old legal documents, but I'm talking about old stuff that needs to be gone through from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000, that's taking up space that we could use better for our current filing, which we don't really have a problem with except for time getting at the end of the month, getting to it. But it's the mess is in all this old filing that's there. Some of it's real important. There were a lot of property disputes, and there's legal documents that are very valuable, but nothing is in order in all these old files. So that's the only thing I remember from that email.
Okay, well, I appreciate the information, and I'm just going to have to read back over that letter at another time. But it sounds like part of the problem that she's having to put extra time into is because the situation that the board's in with.
Well, Highland. Things change, you know.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, I know everybody got that. Maybe I'm only the only one that kind of was questioning things about it.
I'm concerned about, and I don't know, have you guys talked to Highland about their rate increases?
Dick, you and Lisa were going to schedule a joint meeting with them, weren't you?
We were, but we've not done that yet. So
what inflation is right now. And I'd like to know why.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the rate, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I'll get with Lisa and we'll do that right away and get back to everybody via email.
Okay.
Anything else, Mike?
No, I think that's it.
Right. So you and, by the way, you and Joni are going to be starting this committee for the community center. Is that right? Is that what I heard?
That's not what I heard.
Oh, I thought that's exactly what I heard.
What I heard was that I raised some questions for everybody to consider. I've been involved in a lot of things over the decades in this community. I have no problem with passing any type of a torch. And I think what Joni said was that she's got some information. I don't know that she wants to volunteer to do that. But if she's got some information, that's great for whoever wants to volunteer.
Okay.
Well, you know what I'd like to do is I'd like to go review my file and see what's there. And I can, maybe the next time we get together or the next board meeting or the board meeting after that or whatever, I think we should put the community center on the board agenda for the year. I think that would be really helpful. And then I'll let you know what I have. I'll let you know what I've learned there. And I'm sure that, you know, things have changed in the last couple of years. Well, I'm not sure that. I can't say that. I'm just assuming that things would change over the years. And so I think we should look at what I actually do still have, and you should know what I have. And then we make it, and I'm very happy to look at it again. I just remember we had a meeting of people when we put it out to say who would like to be on this committee. And we had, I bet we had 50 people in that community center, and we put together, you know, we talked about the community center and what needed to be done. And we had, that was when the community center, they felt like there was all kinds of mold and mildew. And so volunteers, you know, Jerry and Greg and Paul and I don't know, but Tom Springer and several people, if it was you and Stan, Mike, if it was you in there, I didn't remember that. But anyway, they went underneath the community center and they dug out all that stuff and they got it all cleaned up and they just did incredible things, fixed up the roof and did all kinds of things. And then COVID and everybody just, well, that's that. And so I think we just need to re-energize the idea of using the community center again. And I'm kind of in the same boat as Beth is in that I'm not ready to go into inside with a whole group of people. I'm just not ready to do it, but I know other people are. So.
Well, and then a family group, you know, it's a little different. Yeah. But you know,
there were times when we all know we've been inside there at group meetings and wonderful potlucks and great holidays. And there were a lot of people. In fact, there were more people in that room than the fire.
Okay. Well, does anybody else have anything for the budget tonight? And do you want to meet again next week to finalize it, or do you want to finalize it tonight?
Oh,
Lisa.
This has nothing to do with really the budget committee. It has to do with Beth and Dick. I still want to know why you didn't want Pat on the board, and it's never been answered. And you guys can think about it and send out an email. That's fine. We don't have to discuss it tonight, but I'm still waiting on an answer.
Okay. I emails are fairly difficult way to convey things because often things can be misconstrued. I don't like that. And I also don't like public speaking. So I don't know what the answer is to that, but there's been a lot of fabricated allegations, and it's quite a sticky mess. There's a lot because it's been going on for a year and a half, and I don't know. I'll consider to think about it when I have the time, but I haven't had the time really to sit down that much with it and go through it in my head. What else do we need to do with this budget? Are we ready to approve what we have?
I'm not. I want to think about a few things. And I think if we could schedule one more meeting for about 15 minutes, that would take care of it. I'm just not ready to vote tonight.
Okay. But if you've got any kind of proposal, can you at least send some of the gist of it out ahead of time, maybe to the committee?
Sure. So, I don't know that I will. I just want to take some time to read over line by line all these things, see how it all comes together. I'll probably vote yes, let's do it. But just to jump right now, although you can't, we need six votes, right, to approve it? Because we still go with the quorum of as if we had the 10 that we would ideally have. So I suppose there's six that want to vote for it right now. You could do that.
I would not.
We need to know what to do with this extra one, but we need for three and four, we need four people to meet for a quorum, and we need a majority of five yeses for a vote to pass anything for this committee with three board members and four elector members.
So, okay, I guess I misunderstood from a couple of meetings ago or whenever it was, of Pat raising the issue from Tracy at SDAO that we would go with the quorum as if everybody that legally was supposed to be on there was there, and that's 10.
No, that applies to the board.
Okay.
But not to the budget committee members. The budget committee section. And if you want one of these classes I took from the Department of Revenue went over that. I think it was that class. And I have some handouts I could send to you.
No, you don't have to do that. So what you're telling me is four would pass the budget.
Five
would pass the budget.
A vote of five yeses would pass the budget.
Okay, proposed right. budget. Okay.
Well, I'm good with waiting. I agree with Mike. I'd rather sort of sit with some of this, especially I'm just beyond my point of being able to
right.
think in numbers right now. I just need to.
We have that $5,000 and that like some things were thrown out. So maybe think about that if we do the vacation rental rate boost, then we have an extra $5,700 in revenue. So where does that go? Contingency or somewhere else? So think about that. And if you have anything that has more than one or two numbers on it, if you could send it in an email so some of us sure. can look at it before, that would be great.
Okay, just send it to everybody. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so our next meeting.
It's scheduled, it was, you put it on the
for the 24th.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah. And
okay.
So.
Short one.
A yep. short one, please, because whatever we have to put in for our notice to the community, I'll try to work on that already, but it's gonna have to go to the printers the next day so that we can get enough copies made. You know, the printer makes the copies and we pick them up and then we get them in the mail.
So do you want to be Monday instead? So you got 48 hours or Tuesday's okay? I don't care.
Good any day.
I think we're good anything too.
I'd like to know what Highland has to say though before the next budget committee.
I don't know that
at all.
Yeah, we didn't have a board meeting until then.
We'll call Highland tomorrow for sure.
Thanks, Dick. Thank you.
And Dick, when you call him,
okay. Well, we better wait. We better do it Tuesday then for the meeting.
Okay, Tuesday it is.
Doors open, right?
I want to know. All right, Tuesday.
Okay, right. Tuesday. Short, any objections to adjourning? If not, I'll adjourn this meeting at 7:48. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Thanks, everyone.
For all your help.
Thank you.
Thanks. See you soon.